I have less notes today. And it was an easy message to put together because I like the topic. The destroyer gets destroyed. Okay? I like that. That's good news. It's good news. The enemy has tried to destroy Christ's church and his followers from the beginning. From the very beginning, the enemy has tried to destroy Christ's church and Christ's followers. It's important to learn everything possible about the enemy. We need to know who the enemy is so that we can see him whenever he presents himself. And sometimes we may not recognize things that come from the enemy. And sometimes the things that come from the enemy can be mimicked. And we see this in our lives. It's important to learn who the enemy is. Who is this enemy? The destroyer who gets destroyed. Last week, we looked at the deceiver who himself is deceived. Those who are in Christ already have victory through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection over death. The resurrection out of the grave. We have victory. We're operating in victory. Not for victory, not toward victory. We have it. We are operating from victory. Our Creator trampled on His enemies through Christ. This is very clearly written in His Scriptures. He put the enemies to shame. It's already taken place. Resurrection Day is the remembrance of His victory. It's the Christian V-Day, Victory Day. Resurrection Day is the victory of Christ over all that is opposite of God. And I think it's no wonder that Satan wants us to call it something other than Resurrection Day. He wants us to call it Easter or whatever. And I'm not going to go into that big thing right now. We might in this series get into that because it is an enemy of the church. But we need to call Resurrection Day what it is. Resurrection Day. It's the day of the resurrection. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ because in His resurrection, He took victory over death. He took victory over the grave. He took victory over sin. He took victory over everything contrary to Almighty God. Give thanks unto the Father, it's written in Colossians chapter 1, who has made it possible to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We are all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And by Jesus Christ, through His act of redemption, we're forgiven. We are freed from our sin. We no longer have to operate in our sin because we have victory over it. And we only acquire that victory through Jesus Christ. He's the head of the body, the church. It's written in Colossians 1:18. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that in all things He has supremacy. Our supreme commander imparts victory to His troops. Now, we may not operate on two sides of the fence. Because straddling the fence in that lukewarm position, we are harming ourselves and limiting our ability to serve Him. He tells us, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. He said, I'm going to get rid of you. You're not mine. If you do not do what He calls you to do, you are held accountable to Him. You have victory and you need to operate in that victory. We're covered in His victory when we're in Christ. We all know that Christ's enemies will attack us. They will assault us. There's no doubt about it. This is a spiritual warfare. We are battling, and those of us who are battling sometimes get beat up. Sometimes we get hurt. There's no doubt about that. The truth is, though, that Almighty God has our back because He is greater than anything the enemy can come at us with. Greater is He that is in us than he is in the world. It's written in 1 John 4:4. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what written in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Can we repeat that together today? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Power. We have authority through Jesus Christ to command the demons to go. We have that authority. But we may not be playing in the demons' realm and expect that they will obey us. We have to stand true to God. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said. You believe in God, believe also in Him. He cast the demons out. And He said, sometimes these must be cast out with fasting and prayer. There's work to be done, folks. But we have the victory. Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. We're going to begin at the first verse. I was just going to read the verse that is relevant to the message today, but I think I need to read the context. Revelation chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. And I want you all to hear, it's on page 827 in the Pew Bible, you'll find it. Page 827 in the Pew Bible. We'll read the first 12 verses, and I want you to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Most especially to the church that's meeting in this building. God, I ask that You would take a hold of my mouth today to speak only Your truth. Father, I ask that You would open our ears to hear and our eyes to see. Help me to bring Your message, Lord. Help me to bring Your message with clarity. I pray in Jesus' name. Hear what's written in Revelation chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven fallen unto the earth. And there was given to him the key of the pit of the abyss. And he opened the pit of the abyss, and there went up a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke came forth locusts upon the earth, and power was given them, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was said unto them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only such men, only such people, as have not the seal of God on their foreheads. And it was given them that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. And in those days men shall seek death, and shall in no wise find it. They shall desire to die, and death fleeth from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared for war, and upon their heads, as it were, crowns like unto gold, and their faces were as men's faces. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to war. And they have tails like unto scorpions and stings, and in their tails is the power to hurt men 5 months. They have over them as king the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue he hath the name Apollyon. The first woe is past. Behold, there yet come two woes hereafter. I pray that God would add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. This is where we see all hell breaking loose on earth. There's no doubt about it. The time is coming when everything we know will change. God's Word is clear. The devil and his crew are going to bring destruction upon the earth. It's absolutely clear. There's no doubt about it. We're seeing it in our own time. Right now, we're seeing destruction. There is no way that what we're seeing in this land and across the world is God's will in the sense that He loves His creation. But He allows these things. And He brings destruction Himself at times upon people who refuse to repent. The Hebrew and the Greek names of Satan were used in this message. John the Revelator put together. Abaddon, Apollyon, the destroyer. He's the angel of the abyss, king of the plague of locusts that resemble horses crowned with human faces. They have woman's hair, lion's teeth, wings, iron breastplates, and a tail with a scorpion stinger. And for 5 months, they torment anyone who doesn't have the seal of God on their foreheads. I'm not going to break this all down for you, folks. I just want you to understand, it's going to be a tough time. The destroyer is going to be destroying. Okay? This is the devil, Satan, Lucifer, Abaddon, Apollyon, the destroyer. He seeks to destroy souls. He seeks to destroy churches. He seeks to destroy the natural love of Christ's followers. He seeks to destroy our relationship with Almighty God. He seeks to destroy our relationship with one another. He seeks to destroy all that's good and right and moral. But as we proceed, we will see that the truth is this destroyer is destroyed along with all who do his bidding. Jesus and Isaiah reveal who that star that fell from heaven is. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That's found in Luke chapter 10, verse 18. The Greek word translated Satan means adversary, the enemy. He opposes all that's right, good, godly, and moral. It's the name that's given to the prince of the evil spirits and the demons. He's the permanent adversary of God and Christ. The destroyer provokes souls to leave God as he tempts and teases us to turn against God. And he wants us to turn against each other. We've seen that throughout our lives, haven't we, folks? There's none of us here that haven't had people turn against us. I was just thinking the other day how many people that were close to me in my life have turned against me. I mean violently turned against me. And I said, well, praise be to God. He gave me strength to stand in those situations. If all of those circumstances hadn't taken place, I might not be the man who I am today. And so I praise God for all those things that have happened, even the really horrible ones. And there's been some horrible circumstances, folks. But I'll tell you this, I am more than victorious in Christ. I can't tell you all my sins. You might lose respect for me. But none of you have done anything that I haven't done. I'll tell you that right now. There's none of you who haven't sinned. None of you have sinned any worse than I have. I trust that God has kept me for His purposes. I'm not some holy roller going to tell you you're condemned because you're a sinner. I'm a sinner like you, and I've been saved by God's grace. I've been brought out of that sin, and I'm no longer living in it because He gives me the power over it. And He can give you the power too. You don't have to live in sin. You don't have to walk outside of the victory because you have the victory in Christ. The devil's goal is to destroy people. His goal is to destroy souls. His goal is to destroy relationships and joy and peace and safety and everything that's moral and right and good. He uses his demons to take possession and control of people and whole churches at times. Now, we've seen that in our time. He uses these evil spirits. And what does that result in but aberrant, immoral behavior and perversion beyond imagination? As I was studying to prepare for this message, I got some kind of a something or other that led me to something or other, and I don't remember how it happened, but I learned about people that are marrying the sea. They have religious ceremonies for people to marry the ocean. They all go into the ocean and somebody says something. They actually do a marriage ceremony so that people can marry the ocean. If that isn't an aberrant behavior, I don't know what is. And I learned of a woman that has sex with a tree. Literally. And you want to talk about perversion. You want to talk about the enemy taking over human souls. What we see in our land is the absence of Christ. It's not the darkness that's ruling, it's the absence of light. Bill and I were talking about this the other day, I believe. The absence of light is why we see so much darkness. And in fact, scientifically speaking, there is no darkness. There are only varying degrees of the absence of light. just as there is no cold. Now, I know that sounds strange, but scientifically speaking, there is only the absence of heat. And when you come on fire for Almighty God, that heat lights you up. And you move for Him. You live for Him. You walk for Him. You talk for Him because you are in the victory of Jesus Christ. You have the victory. You have the victory. You are no longer a slave to the devil. You are victorious in Christ. Demon possession also results in sicknesses and disease and, as we've spoken of earlier, addiction, idolatry, all of these things. They don't come from God. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Did you get that last verse? Isaiah brings the gospel, the good news. He says, "Satan, oh, you want to exalt yourself, right? You think you got it all together? You're going to be brought down. You're going to be put to the center of the pit, to the bottom of the pit. You're going to be thrown into that pit, and you aren't going to get out when that time comes." Revelation 13:10 tells us, "He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity." And what is sin if it's not captivity? We were all once captivated by sin. We were all once held by it. But we've been freed. We've been liberated. If in fact we have been. But even in telling that bad news, as I said, Isaiah gives the good news. As the destroyer, he gets destroyed. Christ prevails. He has secured the victory, and the destroyer will be destroyed. He will be permanently brought down. It doesn't matter what happens in these lives. If we're serving Almighty God, He will keep us until it's time to take us home. You look at all of the disciples, the early apostles, each and every one of them met with a horrible death, except for John, although they did try to kill him. Ended up putting him on the island of Patmos. And then once he was released from that prison, he lived out the rest of his life to become an old man. But everybody else that served Christ, they didn't die by a pleasant way. Let me tell you, they didn't just lay down and go to sleep. They suffered. The smoke, it says in Revelation 14:11, "The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they shall have no rest day nor night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." The persecutors of the church, the Antichrist, the persecutors will suffer that which they inflict on the saints. And it doesn't matter if they're in a church organization. They might think that some building saves them. They might think that some religious order saves them. They might think that some denominational structure saves them. They might think because they said some little prayer that they're saved. But the great destroyer and all who work with him or for him will be destroyed in a state of eternal dying. It's not annihilation. The scripture makes it clear. With God's assistance, that destroyer is destroyed, and upon Christ's return, he will be bound with chains for 1,000 years. And remember that 1,000 years is as a day with God, and a day is as 1,000 years. In Revelation 20, in verse 1, we hear through 3, "I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season." It's a temporary fix. It hasn't occurred yet, but it is certain. It's certain to occur. It's written a little further there that when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea, and they went up on the breadth of the earth encompassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Day and night forever and ever. Anybody who says that there's annihilation, that the devil is destroyed, they're mistaken, because the scripture is clear. In fact, if you don't believe that, remember what's written a little further there. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The second death's an eternal state of dying. And why do I say that? Listen to what Jesus said. It shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And Jesus said, if thy hand, foot, or eye causes you to sin, get rid of it. For it's better for you to enter into life without them than to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The worm he's talking about is the ones that eat the body after death. And those worms don't die. If there's no flesh to eat, they die. He's talking about an eternal state of dying. This isn't anything that we want for anybody that we love, most especially. But you know, the bottom line is, Almighty God bought and paid for souls. And He used Jesus Christ to do that. And He deserves to get what He bought and paid for. And part of our job as the church, as the body of Christ, is to go out and collect those souls that He bought and paid for. We have a duty to Him. Oh, and I get criticized for that. So I say we have a duty. It is a duty. Jesus charged us with it. He said, go, make disciples. Go, preach the gospel. Go, teach the message. That's what He said. It's not my words. God's people know that in Christ we have victory. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you tired? Are you tired? Come to Christ. If you're just tired of all this struggling in life, come to Christ. Take my yoke upon you, He said, and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what He says. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. If any, it doesn't exclude anybody. He opens the door. He says, here, come, come. John says he's speaking of the Spirit when he talks about those rivers of living water. Jesus tells us, it's written in Revelation chapter 22, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that's athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You can't pay for it. It's free. We get it for free. God has the victory. And He says, here, you can have it too. It's the water of life. God's people, those who've turned to Him through the faith of Christ, shall live and reign with Him forever and ever. And as I wrap this up, I want you to remember, we have His Word and His grace and His armor as our defense. These things are our defense. Remember that when things get tough here. Remember that when the devil teases and tempts you to lead you away from God, you have the victory in Christ. Remember that. He wants to deceive and destroy, but Christ prevails. Those who are in Christ are victorious with Christ. Remember that as you serve Him greater today than you have any time before today. And remember that when you serve Him tomorrow, and the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that, until He takes you home. Because you have victory in Jesus. Living, He loved us. Dying, He saved us. Buried, He carried our sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. And one day, He's coming. Oh, what a glorious day. Now let's pray. Father God, we know that we have victory. Help us to walk in that victory, Lord. Help us to remember that we can come to Christ. Help us, Father God, to receive the rest that only You can provide. Help us, Lord, to have that river of living water flowing from us, of Your Spirit. Help us, Father. If there's anybody here today, Lord, that needs You, move over them, Lord. Wash over them. Help us, Lord, to minister to them. If there's anybody here that's hurting, Lord, I ask that You would free them. Liberate them, Lord. I know that You can. I know that You can, Father, and I ask that You will. I know that we can take the water of life freely, Lord God, and I ask that You would spill Your water, Your spiritual water, upon each one here. That You would light us up, Lord. That You would wash us clean, whiter than snow, Lord God. That we would know that You love us. That we would know that You've saved us. That we would know that You've carried our sins away. That we would know that we are justified freely. God, help us to keep our sights on what You put forth. That we do have victory. And that that deceiver who's deceived, yes, the destroyer who will be destroyed, has no power over Christ. Let us be in Christ every moment of our lives for Your protection, we pray in His mighty and matchless name. And all God's people said, Amen. Now we can open our hymnals to number 103.